Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Mike and the worship team for leading us in worship. Man, I love that last song, Have Thine Own Way, one of my favorites, as well as How He Loves. I love that too. But as Brother Mike said, my name is Irvin Waswa, originally from Dallas-Fort Worth. My parents are originally from Uganda, a country in East Africa, came to the States for college, and so myself and my sisters were born and raised here in the States. And so I like to tell folks a lot of times that I'm an African with a Texas accent, right? But been in Clarksville close to a year now, and I've loved it, as Brother Mike mentioned, serving at Living Hope Baptist Church. And I tell you what, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to come and share with you guys today. I love, you know, how this exhibits continuity between all the churches in Clarksville. Because here's the reality. Look, we're on the same team. We're all on the same team with the same mission to go and make disciples who make disciples. And so I'm privileged and honored to be here this morning with you. If you got a Bible, turn with me to Psalms chapter 115. Psalms chapter 115. And before we dig in, I want to share a story with you. When I was in college, I guess it was 2013, you know, I remember hanging out, you know, in my dorm room, procrastinating on studying, as, you know, all of great college students do, right? Procrastinating. I was strolling through the interwebs on Twitter, and I remember seeing somebody post a tweet, you know, that said, hey, you know, I got a new car today, and then had one of those hashtags that said AGTG. And I was like, what is that? AGTG? Is that some kind of acronym? How do you pronounce that? And so, of course, you know, wanting to procrastinate a little more, I didn't want to study, so I decided to further investigate. And so I click on the hashtag, and I look, and it stood for All Glory to God. And I was like, oh man, I like that. I'm going to steal that. And so for the next couple of weeks, you know, whenever I took a test or something and I ended up getting a good grade, or whenever something good happened in my life, you know, I would, someone would come and they may say, you know, a word of encouragement, Irv, good job, this and that. And I'd be like, oh, you know, AGTG, you know, point my finger to the sky, you know, let them know, AGTG. And they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, it's all glory to God. That's what it meant. And I used that little, you know, acronym, that phrase, for a couple of weeks until, like every other fad in today's time, it died out. And then I tried to use it again, and it was kind of lame. No one really liked it. You know, but even though I use the phrase facetiously, right, and just in fun, there's a lot of truth to that phrase, isn't there? All glory to God. Here's the reality. As a follower of Jesus, our life song ought to be that. All glory to God. By the way that we live our life, it ought to praise and bring all glory to the Lord. That word glory, right, stands for greatness, honor, worship. By the way that we live our life, all the glory should be pointed to God. And that's the title of this sermon today, Glory to God Alone. Glory to God Alone. Psalm 115, if you've got a Bible, turn there. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 11 this morning. Verses 1 through 11. It says this, starting in verse 1. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your faithful love, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven and does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throats. Those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them. Verse 9. Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Glory to God alone. Three points I want to highlight this morning, and then we're out, talking about ascribing glory and praise to God alone. The first truth that we see here in this text is in verse 1. We see the psalmist who writes this verse here, he writes this passage, right? He demonstrates the proper posture that we ought to have towards the Lord. The psalmist demonstrates the proper posture that we ought to have before the Lord. A little background here, what's happened is a lot of theologians, a lot of folks who have studied this passage, they believe that this has happened post-exile. The psalmist is writing this post-exile of the Israelites. The Israelites were in captivity, right, because they struggled to follow the Lord, right? And so God allowed them to be in captivity in you know, Babylon and Assyria, and there was a certain time in their history where they were there. But the psalmist is saying, glory, not to us, Lord, but to your name be the glory because of your faithful love. The psalmist is here declaring a praise to God because of his faithful love for relinquishing them from the chains of bondage. He realizes, oh, it's not me. It's not us, Lord. It's not us. It's not our military prowess, but it's because of you that we're in this state of freedom. And because of that, we give you the glory and the praise. Because of your faithful love. Listen, I struggle with having this posture towards the Lord. I believe many church folks struggle with it as well, because we fall into one of two different categories or spots in our life as we walk with the Lord. I think the first category that we find ourselves falling into, the reason why we struggle to have this kind of posture towards God, is because after a while we develop this spiritual arrogance, if you will, this sense of spiritual arrogance. Maybe we've been in church for a long time. We've read the Bible in a year. We're really good at checking our Bible app and doing our devotionals each day. We have great church attendance. We know all the latest worship songs that come on the Way FM. We're really good Christians. And after a while, we find ourselves developing this kind of spiritual arrogance. And then what happens is all of a sudden our posture of worship, it turns inward. And we begin to worship ourselves because of how good of a Christian we are. Listen, church, don't you understand? Because of God's faithful love, right? We've got to be reminded of this. Because of his faithful love is the reason why we're believers in the first place. Ephesians 2:13 says that we were once far, far away from God, but we were brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. What's that blood? What are you talking about? Because of our sin, we were separated from God. But God, in his love, because of his faithful love, made a way, sent his son Jesus to come, live a perfect life, die, and be raised from the dead. That even while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Listen, it's because of God's faithful love that he pushes and encourages us to continue to follow him and walk with him. As he gives that call in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, just as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him. It's because of his faithful love he pushes us and urges us to continue to walk with him. Listen, it's because of his faithful love, right, that we have, that we're protected by him, that we can walk in peace because he keeps us in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. It's because of his faithful love that he brings comfort to us in the midst of the darkest moments in our life. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Listen, it's because of God's faithful love that you are where you are in the Christian life. And because of that, all glory, honor, and praise should be towards him. Where are you at this morning, church? Is this a struggle for you, this sense of spiritual arrogance? Listen, here's the reality. Without God's intervention, it doesn't matter how many times you've been to church. It doesn't matter how many years you've had your letter in the church. Doesn't matter how many worship songs you have, without God's intervention in your life. Listen, we'd all be sinners destined for a life separated from Him. Remember that. It's because of God's faithful love that He deserves all the glory, honor, and praise. Strip away the spiritual arrogance in your life. I believe that spiritual arrogance is a lot of reason why, you know, we may struggle to worship the Lord. Strip away that spiritual arrogance and choose to ascribe all glory and praise to Him. That's the first trap I feel like we fall into. The second trap we fall into is this, physical pride. Physical pride. But the reason why we can't ascribe glory and honor to God is because of all the things that we may have accumulated or all the great things we may have done in our life. I know this is a huge struggle for me. I remember this past May, I finished up seminary, finished up my master's degree at New Orleans Seminary. I was living there for a while, finished up there. And I remember falling into a state of physical pride, sitting there, right? I've got the degree up there. You know, I'm looking, I'm like, man, you know, I've got my master's degree. I'm 25 years old. I'm getting a chance, you know, I'm getting a chance to do all these different things. I've got a full-time job working at a church. My life is made. I've got good health. And I found myself falling into that state. Maybe you're there. Maybe you look at your life and you think, "Woo, man, glory to me. Look, I've got a nice house. I've got a nice car. I've got great health. Life is good. I've got a ton of money in the bank. All praise and glory comes to me. I deserve it. This is what I've worked for." Listen, friend, James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Listen, what you have is a gift from the God. God is the one that's provided that for you because of His faithful love. The car that you have, the family that you have, the riches that you have, it's all from Him. And because it's from Him, He deserves all the glory and praise. He deserves it all. Job 1:21 says, "The Lord gives and He takes away." He's very generous. And because of that, we ought to give Him praise and glory. The psalmist had the right posture here. And let us as a church choose to have that right posture as well. Looking to God and thanking Him, bringing Him praise and glory and honor for all that He's given us, for where He has us in life. Our life ought to reflect that. That's the first truth we see here. Continue on, verses 2 and 3. Look what it says. "Why should the nation say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in heaven and does whatever He pleases." Not only is it because of God's faithful love, right, that this psalmist has the correct posture towards God. Also, we see that the psalmist's posture, his attitude of worship towards the Lord, is in every season of life. Verses 2 and 3 is taking a step back into the time when they're in captivity. And all these foreign nations were questioning where the God of Israel was. Like, you say your God's all powerful. Where is He? Here you are slaving away. And he says this, "Look, my God is in heaven and He does whatever He pleases." What he's saying here is that God is sovereign. The God of the universe is over all. Listen, God is not in the timeline. He set the timeline. He's above it. And He does whatever He pleases. Because He is good. And because of that reason, we ought to have our posture towards the Lord. Listen, for those of you who are in a tough time of life, you're asking where God is. Listen, God is in control. He's sovereign. Overall. And because of that, that ought to lead us to worship Him in spite of what we may be going through. Because He's in control. He knows what's going on. And so may that lead us to have a proper posture towards Him. First truth, the psalmist, he demonstrates the proper posture towards the Lord. The second truth we see is this, that the psalmist, he denotes the truth regarding idols. The psalmist, he denotes the truth regarding idols. Look with me at verse 4. I'll reread it again. It says this, "Their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throats. Those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them." Look, what the psalmist is doing here in this text is he's comparing his God, the God of heaven, in verses 2 and 3, with the little g gods that we see here in verses 4 through 8. He's making a comparison, and he gets pretty real with them. He gets pretty real with them. He says all these different things about them. And listen, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and make a comparison, too, between the God of the universe and the little g gods. In verse 4, "Their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands." Look, the God of heaven, it says, spoke, and all things came to being. He's not made by human hands. He made the human hands. Amen? It said in Genesis 1 that He spoke and things came to being. In Psalm 139, it said He knitted us in the womb of our mothers. In Revelation 4:11, it says He deserves all the glory and praise because He created everything, including you and me. That's our God. Verses 5, it says this, "They have mouths but cannot speak." Right, this is a picture of what we see in 1 Kings chapter 18. Remember that battle between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, that false god on Mount Carmel? You remember that? They got all the false prophets of Baal against Elijah. And Elijah says, "Hey, y'all go first. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to call out to our gods, our respective gods, and whichever god rains down fire from heaven is the true God." And so the prophets of Baal, they went first, and it says from morning till noon, they cried out to God. They raved. They shouted. They began doing, you know, wicked acts, cutting their, you know, arms and trying to cry out for their God to rain down fire from heaven. And here's what it says in verse 29. It says, "No one answered. No one made a sound. No one spoke." The God of the universe, like I just mentioned, said that He spoke and all things came to being. God of the universe that I just spoke about, the one that's in heaven, it says that He speaks to us currently through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. He communicates to us. Verse 5, "Eyes but cannot see." These false idols, they have eyes that are carved into them but cannot see. It says in Genesis 16, right, the God of the universe is described as El Roy, the God who sees me. Right, the Bible says that God sees us in every season of life. Listen, church, He sees you where you are right now, in the midst of the pain that you're going through in your life. In the terrible season of life, He sees you. And He wants to meet you where you are. Let's keep going. It says they have ears but cannot hear. Our God, it says in Psalm chapter 34, right, that He hears the cries of the righteous. And He desires for us to continue to cry out to Him because He wants to meet us where we are. That's our God. Continue going. It says the false gods have noses but cannot smell. Ephesians 5:2 says that the sacrifice of Christ was like a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Are you tracking with me? The differences between little g gods and the God of the universe? You seeing why God deserves all the glory and praise? Are you with me? All right, let's keep going. Verse 7, "They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk.
The Bible says that the God of the universe became man and dwelt among us. His name was Jesus Christ. He came and walked on this earth, lived a perfect life that we couldn't live, died a death he didn't deserve. But he didn't stay dead. He rose 3 days later so that we could have life in him. The psalmist is trying to communicate the reality that the God of the universe, this is why he deserves all the glory and praise. There's no comparison between the two, is what he's saying here. There's none. And that's why he deserves the glory, honor, and praise. Maybe you're in here and you're like, oh, Irv, I don't worship, you know, the Baal, as we see in the Old Testament. I don't worship a statue. Listen, friend, you may not worship Baal, but you may worship the ball field. You may worship the workplace. Your phone. Your friends. Irv, I don't worship the Asherah poles, the false gods there in the Old Testament, the false goddess. May not worship the Asherah poles, but your idol may be the accumulation of wealth and prosperity that you've attained in your life. Church, my question to you this morning is this: what's your idol? I'll tell you mine. My struggle, my idol is my cell phone. I'm one of those guys, I like to, you know, when I'm in the coffee shop doing work or something like that, you know, I like to be on my phone and pretend like, I'm real busy or I'm real popular, getting text messages in, you know, pull my phone out and, you know, texting, tweeting, you know, looking up, seeing if anybody's looking at me, you know. What's your idol? Because listen, that idol that you're worshiping, as we just saw, it doesn't even come close to the God of the universe who loves you. Doesn't even compare. Doesn't even compare. Look at verse 8. The psalmist, he highlights this last truth regarding idols in our life. Listen, here's the reality, by the way. I heard it once said regarding idols and fooling around with sin. And, you know, you can dance with the devil, but here's the reality. He always takes the lead in the dance if you let him. Verse 8. Regarding idols, those who make them are just like them, or in some translations, become just like them, as are all who trust in them. Those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them. Those who of us who place our trust in idols instead of the risen Lord, here's what happens. We become ineffective in our ministry to the Lord. We, in a sense, become powerless in this Christian life. I heard it once said, I read a quote somewhere talking about this very verse. It says this, that there's no power that's found within the handcrafted idol, yet it has the power to destroy its worshiper. I believe I'll say that one more time for the people in the back. That there's no power that's found within the handcrafted idol, yet it has the power to destroy its worship. Listen, choose to crush the idol or idols that are creeping in your life. Because they're always there. They're always going to be creeping up. We're in a busy world. It's 2018. There's access to so much stuff. There's so many distractions that keep us from placing the Lord first place in our life. Choose to crush those idols. And choose to ascribe all praise, honor, and glory to the Lord. The psalmist, he denotes the truth regarding idols. And the last truth we see here is this. We see the psalmist's determined plea to the people. The psalmist's determined plea to the people. Look at verses 9 through 11 here. It says this, Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You can hear the determination of the psalmist to get this through the thick skulls of the people of Israel, can't you? This plea that he gives. Listen, because of all that I've highlighted regarding idols. Listen, because of what the Lord has just done for us in freeing us from captivity. Trust in the Lord. He's not just talking to Israel. He's not just talking to the house of Aaron, i.e. the priest of the day. Because all who, what does it say in verse 11? All who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Talking about you and me too. You can hear the determined plea. Whenever I read this, I think of my dad growing up. And his determined plea to me was, he would always tell me all the time, Irvin, pick up a book and read. Pick up a book and read. I'm like, Dad, it's nice outside. I want to go play basketball. I'm like, no, you need to pick up a book and read. Hear that as a kid. And then whenever I got to high school, Irvin, you need to study. Study to make sure you pass your test. Oh, Dad, I can wait till tomorrow, you know. Procrastination, that's kind of the end thing right now. You won't understand. This is what we need to do. Let me play. Let me hang out. It's the same thing here with the psalmist. Trust in the Lord. What does he mean by that? It's meaning to entrust all of who you are to the Lord. Whenever we do that, whenever we place all of our trust on God, that's when he's glorified. Heard a quote that said this, God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. That's what this text is saying here. Entrust all of yourself to God. God is not glorified in sharing first place with anything else in your life. God is most glorified whenever he's the king of our heart. And that's what he's calling for us to do every day of our life. Is to choose to make him first place and to trust in him. To throw aside the idols and place all of our trust in him. Because he's good. Because he loves us. Because he's provided for us. Because he's worthy of it. Church at Spring Creek this morning, what will your decision be? Will you choose to fully trust in the Lord? Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. What will your decision be? I want to highlight 3 points of application, and then we'll be through this morning regarding what it looks like to ascribe all glory, honor, and praise to the Lord. Right? Because this is a struggle. This is a struggle. It really is. It is easy to glorify yourself in a day and age when social media, right, is preaching for you to show your best self to the world so that the world can worship you. It's easy to fall into that trap. I do it. But what are three helpful tips that we can take away moving forward that will help us to continue to have the right posture towards the Lord and live a life that brings all glory to Him? The first one is this. Simply remember the Lord. Remember the Lord and what He's done in your life. Remember Deuteronomy 8, you know, God is giving charge to the Israelites and He's telling them, you know, all these different truths. And what He does afterwards, He says, hey, look, people of Israel, don't forget the Lord. Whenever you're living in your houses and you've eaten and you're full to the brim, don't forget the Lord. Or else you'll slip. That's the same truth for us. Hey, listen, remember what God has done for you in your life. From your moment of salvation, when He saved you, to the moments in your life where it seemed like He wasn't there and at the right time He pulled you out of that pit, to the seasons of celebration. Remember the God that's over all of that. Second truth is this. Hey, remember, this is a matter of the heart. Listen, worship is a matter of the heart. You can be singing songs at a church service on Sunday and not really be worshiping God. It's a matter of the heart. And what that looks like for us as Christians is daily choosing to, as Jesus said, die to ourselves, pick up our cross and follow Him. That means going before the Lord and saying, God, You deserve all the glory, honor, and praise today. Have Thine own way in my life. That's second truth. And last truth is this, simply crush the idols that are in your life. Jesus puts it best. Hey, whatever causes you to sin, hey, cut it off. If your hand causes you to do it, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Crush the idols that are in your life that are competing for first place. Don't even flirt with them. And allow for God to have first place in your life. Listen, Spring Creek Baptist, what's your response going to be? Because here's the reality. God deserves for every believer to ascribe glory, honor, and praise to Him and Him alone. He's the only one that's worthy of it. And listen, whenever we have that correct posture, whenever we choose to crush the idols in our life and choose to entrust all of ourselves to Him, that's when movement happens. That's when Christianity becomes more than just a Sunday morning deal in your life. That's when you get excited about going and telling your friends about Jesus. That's when you get excited to be able to worship Him. You're unashamed. It doesn't matter what people are saying or how they're looking at you. That's when Christianity becomes who you are instead of something that you do. My hope and prayer is that we as a church here, not just here at Spring Creek, but all around, would choose to give God all the glory. I'm going to ask for the band to come up. And lead us in a time of response. I would be remiss if didn't open up an opportunity for us to respond to what God may be leading for us. We see in James, right, it says that Let's be doers of the word, not just hearers. I believe that whenever the word of God is proclaimed, taught, spoken about, there's a call for response. What are we going to do with the truth that God has given us? And now is the time for that. Listen, there's a variety of different ways you can respond. The first way is by standing up and giving praise to the Lord. Letting it rip. Singing songs of praise and worship to Him. Maybe you're in here, though, and you realize that your posture for a while has not been correct. Really, you've been worshiping yourself because of what you've done instead of ascribing all the praise, honor, and glory to Him. And maybe you need to get alone with God and get right with Him. Confess sin and get right. Now's the opportunity to do that. You could stay in your seat and pray. I don't know how you guys do it here, but I know the front, you know, in our church is an altar, essentially. You can bow before the Lord and pray. Maybe you're in here and you've got idols in your life that keep on knocking God away from being first place in your heart and in your life. You need to lay those idols down. Now's the opportunity to do that. We'd love for you to do that. And lastly, maybe you're in here and you don't even know about this God that we've talked about. You may know a lot about church. May have done a lot of good things, but you don't have a relationship with God. Listen, we'd love to talk to you about that. Myself, I'll be down front. A couple of deacons will be down front. We'd love to talk to you about what it means. God loved you so much that He made a way for you to have a relationship with Him again, and that's through Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't know where you are this morning, but my hope and prayer is that you choose to respond to the word that God had for us today. We're going to pray. We're going to stand and sing. And listen, you respond as the Lord leads. Respond as the Lord leads. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You for who You are, God. I confess in my own heart and life, Lord, about my struggle with ascribing praise and glory to You alone. A lot of times I get so inward focused and worship myself, Lord, and God, may that never be for, God, Your church, Lord. May we remember all that You've done for us. And remember who You are, God. And may that lead us to ascribe all worship and praise to You, Lord. I pray that You would have Your way in this invitation time. God, and may You be glorified. May Your people respond as You lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.